Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. With the largest selection of concrete and mortar in stock, we have the right mix specially formulated for your project. View our entire selection of concrete and mortar mixes online or in-store and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who was the mysterious man they encountered camping in the forest, and was he even real?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, and if you have a real ghost story, you could leave us a voicemail and share it with us. Call 855-853-4802. If you prefer to write it in, just go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to be a premium subscriber, you don't get commercials. You get all the advanced episodes and access to thousands of episodes in the archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts, try it 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. So, Harper, you kind of live, like, where you live, you have a lot of forested areas. There's a lot of trees and a lot of hills.
And I love walking through them.
I love it to a point. I don't love it if I feel like I'm getting lost. That would be bad.
Yeah, no, that would be really bad.
This is kind of, oh, maybe I shouldn't even do this story with you, because now you're going to be like thinking differently every time you go into the wooded area. Because I know you and your friends got that area you like to go picnic in.
I mean, we're not doing it, like, obviously, like, right now, because it's, like, fall, winter weather.
Now's not the time to picnic.
It's really not.
It's a good place to walk your dog, though, maybe. Maybe walk your dog when it's not raining.
Yeah, maybe.
It is raining here today. Oh, my God. Yeah. I think we've got, like, 2.5 inches of rain today. It's a lot. It's been a lot. But this is a pretty creepy story. So it says, my name is Aaron. I'm 34. East Tennessee has been my home most of my life. And Tennessee is kind of like your state, Arkansas. It's very, lots of trees and stuff. It's quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. A few years back, my girlfriend, my buddy, and I rented a house on Clark's Creek Road in Jonesboro. It was tucked away at the foot of the mountains, not far from the Cherokee National Forest, in a swimming hole called Sally's Hole. My mom said they called it that because years ago, a little girl named Sally drowned there. Oh my God, that's sad. One day, my buddy and I decided to take one of our usual hikes up the mountain trails, cutting through the woods and following the creeks. We'd barely started up the main road when we spotted an older man, probably in his late 50s. His camp was rough, just an old army green tent and some worn cast iron pots, like the kind my mama used to have. The man waved us over and started chatting. He mentioned he'd been staying off the main campground road, moving around the woods for a while, but he'd set up there that morning. He looked like he'd been out there for a long time, and after a few minutes of small talk, we gave him a couple of smokes, promised to bring him some supplies on our way back, and then headed up the trail. When we came back down, he was gone. The camp was empty, not a soul in sight, so we figured he must be out foraging. We made our way back to the trek, headed home, and got on with the rest of our day. By nightfall, we'd put together some water, bread, ramen, just a few things for him, and planned to bring it up to him after my girlfriend left for work. It was around 10 p.m., and there was a knock at the door. Now, out here, it's pitch dark at night. No street lights, just deep woods all around. Nobody ever came by this late. The only people living nearby were older folks or my landlord. My buddy and I looked at each other, spooked. I grabbed my pistol, opened the door, and there he was, the man from the woods. He was soaking wet like he had walked out of a river. Now, I had not told him where we lived, just that it was on the same road. And yet here he was, standing at my door in the dead of night. He said a bear had torn through his camp and ruined his tent. He needed a needle and thread to patch himself up or fix his things. I didn't invite him in. I told him I'd grab what he needed and bring it to him. He just nodded and said he'd head back up the mountain and that he didn't need any help tonight. Then he turned around and walked off into the darkness without another word. My buddy and I were on edge, but we pulled together a makeshift first aid kit, some thread and needles. We set our alarms for 6 a.m., planning to head up there first thing and bring it all to him. The next morning, we drove up to his campsite, only there was no campsite. No tent, no pots or pans, no trace of him. It was like he'd never been there at all. We searched the area, walked through the woods, looked up and down the road, but found nothing. Not a single sign of him. Later, I asked my landlord about strange things happening around the area. She and her husband exchanged a look, then told me the forest was haunted. Some even claimed to have seen Bigfoot out there following them. I still can't explain that night. Was he real or something else entirely? I guess I'll never know, but I'll tell you this. When the sun starts going down out there, I don't go back up that mountain. Okay, what do you think happened to Aaron? Do you think that was an actual man? And if so, how did he find Aaron's house?
I mean,
and they said they drove to his campsite, so it wasn't like his house was right there.
Yeah.
Does it feel paranormal?
It could have been something where the guy maybe just up and left and drove like home and just decided not to like wait for them in the morning after asking for help. But I don't know.
I mean, the feeling this car guy didn't have a car.
I mean, maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. We'll never know.
Let's say that happened to you and you had seen him and you're like, we're going to help you out. We'll be back with more supplies. Then you don't find him later. It's like, we'll just go up there later. And then the guy knocks at your door and he doesn't even know where you live. That would be so freaking creepy. And then he's like, yeah, I need a needle and thread and I need to patch up my tent and my clothes, something to do with a bear. That would be very strange.
I'd be a little frightened. I'm not going to lie.
I get why they were spooked.
Yeah.
And I could see it going both ways. I could see it being a paranormal story. But I could also...
Or just a very deranged person.
Yeah. I could see it going either way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I would be very happy if that happened to me.
Neither would I.
Well, here is our next story.
I'm just calling in to tell you about an experience I had about a year ago at this time. It took place in a theater that I've performed in since I was very young. And it's pretty widely agreed upon that there is some form of an entity within the theater. I'm not sure if it's more human or just like a wider energy field of some sort. But it definitely has an effect on people, especially at night, and especially when you're alone. It kind of, it starts out is where it, like, you feel like something's watching you from, like, behind your back, and the hair on your neck will stand up, and it feels like it suddenly runs up right behind you. So I had experiences with it when I was younger, but it kind of helped that other people were open about it and their experiences with it as well, so it kind of didn't make it as scary. So anyways, moving forward, this last year I was in a production for about a month, and it had come to a close, and I was helping tear down the set, and for whatever reason, a lot of people couldn't make it, and I ended up being the only person who was going to end up cleaning up the stage and the theater, and I was pretty mad about it, and I felt a little uncomfortable being there alone at night. My anger pretty much took over, and I kind of distracted me. So I was just trying to get all this work done, and started getting pretty angry, and kind of threw a fit. And I was yelling and screaming and swearing and throwing things around, and I was kind of on the stage, picking things up, and I was facing where the audience would be sitting. I saw someone come in from a side door that's about 10 to 15 feet away from where I was standing, and the theater's in a pretty bad neighborhood, and my first thought was just like, someone broke in, because it was raining outside. It's about 3 in the morning, and so I kind of instinctively looked up and wanted to confront the person right away. And all the lights were on, so I could see very clearly what looked like a human kind of shaped form. There was nothing very distinctive about it. Like, I couldn't make out a specific face or anything like that. But I definitely saw, you know, like something with four limbs. It was kind of transparent and smoky, kind of a silvery gray light color. And I saw it walk about maybe 12 feet and it moved at a pretty brisk pace and didn't seem to really acknowledge my presence. But I was yelling at the thing, the spirit or entity or whoever, because I thought it was a person at first, as I had stated. As soon as I got done yelling out, like, hey, what's going on? Like, can't be in here. It just disappeared right in front of me. And that certainly helped me calm down a little, and I wasn't as angry. I was more just freaked out at that point. So I went out, I had a cigarette, and I just took it easy for an hour or two in a different section of the theater. But I had a job to do, so I came back and finished it. One of the reasons I wasn't as freaked out by this experience was I definitely had a lot more intense paranormal experiences in the past. And this comparatively wasn't as intense, or the entity didn't feel dark. I don't know. It felt very neutral, but it's still a very interesting experience. And it's the latest one I've had, so I thought I'd call in with that one to start out. But I definitely have a lot more stories. Some of them are a bit dark, but it's something I've survived through, and you know, I think I have some good tips for people out there who are dealing with similar entities or experiences that are kind of hard to talk about with others openly. But thank you for your show. My story wasn't too meandering, but have a great day, and hopefully I'll call back soon.
Well, I gotta say this. I would be pissed off as if I was him, too, that everybody left and he had to strike the whole set by himself.
Yeah, you know what I think it was?
What?
Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom of the Opera. It could have been.
Maybe it could have been.
It's interesting, though, because he was so pissed off. And he rightfully so. Because everybody's supposed to stick around and strike. And everybody left but him. I've done way too many productions. And it's like, that's not right. And so I get why he was so mad. And then to go from so mad to seeing that, like,
I would have been even more pissed. I would have thought like, okay, guys, like, cut the cameras, some sort of practical joke, because everybody would have already left. I would have probably thought it was like a prank or something.
But I think, you know, maybe because of his other experiences, he knew this isn't possible for me to be seeing this right now.
Yeah.
But I love haunted theater stories so much.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I really, really, really do. That was interesting. And I would love to hear some of his other things.
Oh, definitely.
That have happened to him as well. Well, let's do one more. And it says, I've always been sensitive to the paranormal. Too sensitive, maybe. I have plenty of stories, but one that still chills me happened back in 2014 when my husband and I were living on an Air Force base in southern Idaho. My husband was active duty, and just across the street, they were tearing down a row of abandoned houses. They'd been empty for years, full of asbestos and mold, unlivable. But it was right around that time, as the demolition began, that things started happening in our house. And these weren't the harmless kind of things you can ignore. At first, I felt it, a heavy, dense presence, almost like something dark was watching us. The feeling was strongest upstairs, and it seemed threatening. My husband thought I was imagining things, of course, but then my two-year-old daughter started waking up night after night screaming. Every time she'd say the same thing, a man was in her room.
Oh, God.
I hate that. I hate that for the little kid. And the parents. That's just creepy.
It is.
One night, desperate, I spoke aloud, telling whatever was there to leave my children alone. To my surprise, after that, my daughter stopped waking up. I thought maybe it was over, but when my husband deployed overseas, things took a darker turn. One night after my kids were asleep, I had two friends over. One was in the kitchen with me chatting, and the other had stepped into the garage for a smoke. The garage was just off the kitchen, so she was close by. Suddenly, mid-conversation, my friend and I both froze. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw it. A dark, almost black figure gliding into the room. But when I turned, it was gone. I barely had enough time to process it before my friend whispered, "Did you see that?" She'd seen it too. We thought it was our other friend coming back inside, but when she finally walked in, we knew it couldn't have been her. We were all pretty freaked out that night. As the deployment went on, the activity got more personal. One evening, I went back to the house alone to let the dogs out and grab a sweater. I went upstairs and into my closet, only to find my husband's clothes scattered all over the floor, only his clothes. Not a single piece of mine was touched. That's creepy, isn't it?
That is.
Even his dress uniform had been ripped off the hangers. I picked it all up, wondering if maybe one of my kids had done it earlier, but later I realized we hadn't been home all day. When I finally told my husband, he brushed it off. He didn't believe me, not until he got home. On his first night back, we were sitting on the couch, unwinding with a game of Life. The board sat on the coffee table between us. Suddenly, one of the little pegs lifted out of a car and flew across the table as if it had been thrown. My husband didn't say a word. He didn't have to. I could see it in his face that he finally believed me. After that, things calmed down. It was almost as if once my husband acknowledged what was happening, whatever was haunting us felt like its job was done. The presence faded. But to this day, I can't shake the feeling that whatever it was didn't like my husband one bit. Maybe it was challenging him, or maybe it just wanted him to believe. We've since moved to Japan, a place with its own haunted history. I'm sure I'll have more stories to share soon. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear what you think, Kirsten. Ooh. It all had to have stemmed, don't you think, from the place across the street and them tearing that down?
I mean, maybe.
Kind of seems like that could have stirred it up.
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, did it not like the husband? It didn't. It's interesting because that kind of surprised me that she said that, because it didn't feel like anything was really directed to the husband other than all of his clothes were out of the closet.
Yeah, I think it would be more so like challenging everybody, because like, I don't know, she kind of like seems to like almost like brush it off, you know? And then like more things start to happen, and then she starts to like believe that there is actually something going on, and then the husband starts brushing it off.
But, you know, to see the black figure, that seems kind of scary for her. He wasn't around.
Oh, by far.
And
that'd
then
be terrifying.
The little girl with the man in her room, that's pretty terrifying for her.
Yeah.
And for the parents. But then it says, it felt like once my husband acknowledged what was happening, whatever was haunting us felt its job was done. So that's kind of interesting to me. It just ended.
Yeah, just like that.
And it's just interesting that it could haunt you like that and just end. But I do think there is a good lesson in that story where she told the whatever it was to leave the kids alone, and it did.
Yeah.
So I like that part.
Me too.
Just always think talk to it. You know,
yeah.
It ain't going to hurt anything, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll help.
And in this case, you got the thing to stop tormenting the kid.
Mm-hmm. That was huge, actually. That's the last thing you want, is to wake up in the middle of the night to hear your kid screaming, "There's a man in my room." I'd hate that.
Yeah.
So if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write in. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to be a premium subscriber, you could do that. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive. You could sign up at Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.